Hello, I'm Digital Dave.
Hello, Oshkosh. I'm Fast Eddie. And here we are back again on Thursday.
This is a hot start. You're listening to us. I don't know why, but anyway.
Yep, they're questioning that, all right.
Exactly what is a sporadic thunderstorm? Like, it storms and then says, eh.
That's like occasional furniture. Is it furniture occasionally? What is it the rest of the time?
Exactly. And we have with us Bob Mackey today from EAA Insurance Solutions.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Now, we jotted something down, or you jotted something down, and it's non-owned / renter's insurance. Now, as a pilot trainee that may want to get to fly, I'm not going to be able to afford an airplane anytime soon. Is this something every pilot that rents should have? I mean, aren't you covered by the place you're renting from?
That's a great question, because what happens is a lot of times people are either renting or taking lessons, and they go to the flight school and they say, hey, do you have insurance? And they answer, yes, we do. They're not lying. They do have insurance, but it's for them. It's not for you. And some of the places will have like a minimal little attachment to have coverage for you, but it's nowhere near what you need. So, you know, whether if you got a 15-year-old you want to learn to fly, or you want to learn to fly, or you're just a renter, you're in between airplanes and you want to maintain your proficiency and you're renting airplanes, you need to have insurance both for the liability exposure and for the physical damage exposure, because it's basically, otherwise you're going naked, and I don't know about you, but that's not pretty. But, you need to have the coverage. And what's interesting also, the insurance companies for the flight schools and rental operations, they're fairly aggressive, just like the rental car agencies are fairly aggressive on recovering from the individual who had the vehicle, or in this case the airplane, and had damage. If they see that there was some negligence on your part, they will come after you for the value of what the insurance company has to pay.
Wow.
So we help people sort it out. We get them to the right limit of liability. Generally, we recommend like 50% of the value of the physical damage. So like if you're renting a $50,000 airplane, you should at least buy $25,000, because even in a worst case scenario of a total loss, the insurance company's net loss might be 35. So if you got 25, they'll be more than happy. They're not going to pursue you for the difference. But if you have nothing, they're going to come after you.
Okay. Now, when I get renter's insurance, are they're obviously going to ask me, what am I flying?
No, they actually don't. When you buy your insurance, the base policy is built for single engine, standard category, light sport, and experimental aircraft. And airplanes, I should say airplanes, not aircraft. So you're talking fixed wing. It can include retractable gear. And they really don't rate it based on whether you're going to pay the same price whether you're a student or you're an ATP. It's based on the actuarial numbers just weigh out that you can charge the same price for all those categories, regardless of age, regardless of experience. And then if you need it for multi-engine or a seaplane, they have those. You can expand out. Those are going to cost you more. Or rotor wing, which is either helicopter or gyrocopter. It's going to cost you a little bit more, but they can include that. And it also includes trikes and powered parachutes. So if you're learning to fly a trike or a powered parachute, the insurance company has that included in the base policy.
Now, that's interesting, because I would think that most gyros, well, they're not that cheap, but they're a lot cheaper than a lot of the fixed wing stuff you're going to encounter. So mm-hmm. carrying that larger number of insurance would not be necessary.
Right. Right.
And so I would think it would cost less, but, such is life.
Not true, because with rotor wing, seaplane, it's more expensive, because if there is an accident, there's going to be more severe damage to the aircraft.
And that's something I think people don't realize, just how easy it is to run up, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 worth of damage on an airplane. I had a buddy of mine nailed a runway light turning off of onto a taxiway, took it clean out, propeller and engine right there. Of course, there was an FAA guy looking at it, but immediately he said, you've got to change the propeller, and we want you to change the engine as well. And a prop, I saw one here yesterday for, I think it was a Cessna 182 or 185. It was $2,000.
That's used.
No, it was brand new.
Oh, okay.
Brand new.
I thought you were going to say, when you fly into the supermarket and the shopping cart rolls over and smashes your airplane. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, we had one experience. I got a call from a family. The son was home for college and had been taking flying lessons, and got his license during the summer at the local flight school. Went on to college, was going to an aviation college, came home for Christmas break, lived up in the Northeast, and came home for Christmas break and went out to rent an airplane. They knew him as a renter, they rented him an airplane, went out and overprimed the engine. and got an engine fire.
Oh.
And it was like $5,000. It wasn't serious, but it was, you know, $5,000 pretty quick. He had no renter's insurance. And here's a college kid, you know, and didn't have any money, but
he's still washing airplanes, huh?
They came after him.
Wow.
They came after him. So they called up and said, we didn't know. And that's it's unfortunate because a lot of people don't realize. And I've written several articles about it. We include it in our forums and just to keep people up to speed on it.
Would you recommend that for a student as well? I mean, not even a fully rated pilot?
Absolutely. Even though you got the instructor with you, if the student's at the controls and the accident happens because the student, if the student runs off the runway and the instructor couldn't catch it, the student's going to be the one that they're going to go after, even though they're a dual. Now, needless to say, when they're supervised solo, then they are on their own. They're not, they haven't got the instructor sitting next to them. But, you know, biannual check rides and stuff, things like that, you need to think about those things. But if you've got your own airplane, of course, you got your own aircraft insurance at that level. But and it's not real expensive. It's not like insuring an airplane like you own. It's less expensive. And we've got it set up with the EAA website. People can go there. They can. There's a couple of options for them to look at. They can get the pricing. They can see right there, okay, if I want to get $20,000 in physical, if I want to get $15,000, or I get $25,000, you get the pricing right in front of you. And you can kind of plan it according to your budget, how much money you want to spend flying, you know, both insurance. And you can buy it online and print out your policy and, you know, 24/7. You decide to do that at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can go do that.
Now, what about the scenario where, and I don't know how many times this would happen, but you borrow a friend's airplane. Now, technically, you're not renting the airplane. You're flying your friend's airplane with his permission, whatever. I imagine his hull insurance is not going to be real happy if you bend it up, and they may not even cover it because maybe you had to be on listed as a pilot. I mean, I don't know how this works at all. I'm just guessing.
Aircraft insurance policies, if you are a named pilot on the policy, typically their insurance will apply to you and their physical damage coverage will also apply. But you want to make sure, because that's not always true with all companies. So if you're borrowing other airplanes, you do need to have a non-owner's policy to make sure. It's like if you were to say, hey, use my car, I'm assuming you have car insurance. But that's a big assumption. And all of a sudden, I have an accident using your car, you have no insurance. And I'm like, why didn't you have insurance? Well, it's too late. I'm already on the hook. I've already caused damage to the car. I've always hurt somebody. So best way to know that you are covered is to have the coverage. And like I said, it's priced competitively so that it's not going to break the bank.
What about if I'm flying an airplane that's above my ability? Now, I guess that's not such an issue because you're supposed to have all the ratings in place and all that stuff.
Well, it also depends, too, because a single-engine land airplane, that covers a lot of categories. You know, what if you're first time out in a tailwheel airplane?
What if I'm first time out in a retract?
Yeah.
I forget to put them down.
There's no exclusions in the non-owned policy.
Okay.
That. So, I mean, your non-owned policy would cover you, and if you went out and you've got a private license with a single engine land and you've only flown tricycle gears and you go to another person's house and you said, hey, go ahead and fly my Cessna 140. Now, the owner of the airplane is not real smart to do that because they probably got issues with their own insurance doing that. But you get in it and you taxi around and, like you say, hit a runway light. No, nothing serious. But you got a sudden engine stoppage, prop damage, and everything else. It's going to be an engine teardown, $15,000 real quick. And the owner's aircraft insurance probably going to say, well, he's not an approved pilot. He doesn't meet the pilot warranty. Your coverage is no good. So the owner of the airplane, who used to be your friend, no longer now,
yeah,
comes back and says, hey, you busted my airplane. You know you're covered.
Okay. So. Wow.
It happens. I mean, it doesn't take much to run up thousands of dollars in damage on an airplane.
Yeah, and I don't like to promote insurance on a basis of fear factor. I just like to promote it on the basis of reality.
Yeah, being prepared, kind of.
Yeah, and if you have a question, call us. Let's talk about it, because if you don't need it, we're not going to sell it to you.
Okay.
It's better to have it and never need it than the other way around.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of preventative maintenance. It's like wearing a seatbelt.
Yep, absolutely.
Where do we find out more?
We've got a booth over by the B exhibit building. The exhibit space outside is 262. Just as you're walking toward the B building, turn right. We're right there. And I'm also doing a forum tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the forum's tent number 11. We're going to be talking about cost factors. We know what causes insurance to go up, what causes insurance to go down, how you can be a smart consumer on aircraft insurance.
Very cool. And also on the web?
Yep, on the web too.
Very good.
Got several articles on EA's website.
All right, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Great to see you guys.
Yep. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.